Welcome to episode 4 of our parenting series. In this episode on Screen Time, Dr. David Hegarty, our prep school counsellor, shares his professional advice on the use of digital devices, gaming, e-safety and balance. I am Belinda Baxter, Deputy Head Students and Community at our prep school. Being a parent is one of the most challenging and rewarding of roles. Allow us to assist as you navigate this journey. Our children are using screens as learning tools most days, and we know with our alpha generation, born between 2010 and up to 24, also known as the Gen of Glass, given the saturated exposure to devices such as the iPad, that fabulous opportunities to learn, connect, play and relax can occur. But what about social media use for primary aged children? And how can we as parents ensure that our children and young people are accessing material that fits within our family values? What we see as key is balance, safeguarding, and responsible adult modelling. Do you agree with this? Your feedback and comment for our future series is highly regarded. Finally, God bless you in your parenting, and God bless your beautiful children.
Welcome back to another Parenting Conversations episode. Today, I want to talk to you about screen time for prep school children. This is a challenging topic for parents to deal with because our children can be quite demanding of screen time, and so it can sometimes create conflict. On top of that, the presence of a pandemic, which requires children to have less face-to-face contact with peers and other caregivers, has forced families to make decisions about media use that went previously unconsidered. I think parents also find this topic challenging because they encounter advice that's often contradictory. For example, research that says it's bad and we should adhere to strict time limits, but then research saying it's beneficial in some way or providing different advice on limits. Now, firstly, I think there are many challenges with the research on screen use, and I don't have time to go into that right now. But generally speaking, there is so much contradictory or difficult advice in this area simply because the pace of technological advancement and the uptake of new technologies far outpaces that of research. And yet, pediatricians, policymakers, and parents turn to the research in making decisions about the amount, the content, and the contexts of young children's media use. Children find screen use enjoyable, and so it isn't surprising that it creates problems in our homes. But it is understandable that parents and their children find it hard to manage screen use. We use screens to learn, to connect with others, to laugh, to solve problems, to play, and just to switch off. It's no wonder screens are so appealing. These benefits withstanding, I believe it is important to monitor and to limit the screen use of our children. This is not simply because screen use is either bad or good. I think whether it is bad or good depends upon a lot of factors, including content, context, and the child's age. In my view, the ideal diet of media consumption would differ from one child to the next. So the idea of bad versus good is just too simplistic. This is about ensuring balance. If I had a child that spent all their time reading and didn't get out and experience all the other aspects that life has to offer, then this is just as bad as the child who sits gaming all day. Screen time and screen use are normal parts of life for most children. The time your child spends watching TV and using computers, gaming consoles, tablets, or smartphones can be a part of a healthy lifestyle. It's all about making sure of two things. Number one, children enjoy plenty of healthy, fun activities, both with and without screens, including physical activity, reading, creative play, and social time with family and friends. And number two, when children do use screens, they watch or use quality and appropriate content. So it is important to monitor and limit screen use because we want to ensure that there is balance. And when they're using screens, that they are engaging with quality and appropriate content. Because we are talking about primary age children, they find it difficult to maintain balance. They don't have the cognitive abilities yet to be able to know when to stop, to be able to shift their attention to other things, to plan or to manage their use. Furthermore, the content that has been developed is designed to take advantage of some of our most basic psychological characteristics. It's engaging and hard to stop. Therefore, we, as parents, need to monitor and control this for our children, as they don't have the capacity to monitor and control this for themselves. As a first step though, before we can even start to monitor and limit the screen use of our children, we need to take an honest look at ourselves and our own screen use. If our child sees us constantly on our phone, then it's very hard to tell them to be doing things we can't or don't do ourselves. This is challenging. Some of us like to be connected to work emails or to ensure we don't miss important messages from friends or family. However, we need to honestly ask ourselves if this is necessary or if it can be scheduled better to limit our own use. We need to demonstrate how we manage something that's sometimes hard to put down so that we show our children how it's done. The modelling of our own behaviour is a strong teacher for our own children. One particularly controversial area of screen time is gaming. I speak with parents who don't understand why their child is gaming and they just want their child to stop. However, we need to recognise that gaming can have positive benefits, such as problem solving, learning to deal with failure and frustration, fine motor skills, not to mention the social nature of gaming, where our children play against or with their friends. But the development of modern gaming makes it very difficult for children to control their own use, so we must do it for them. Additionally, it is important to monitor usage to ensure your child is accessing age-appropriate content. Young children shouldn't be playing inappropriate games that are overly violent or contain adult themes. Yes, it is hard for our children to manage their time on gaming, and you may get pushback or belligerent behaviour when imposing limits on use, especially if your son is comparing themselves to a friend who they think plays more than they do. Firstly, remind him that the information from friends is not always reliable in the first instance, and that your job as a parent is to make the right decisions for him. This is challenging. The conflict it creates can be challenging, but it's essential for us to have firm boundaries in this regard. As your child ages, this will have to be re-looked at again and again. Technology changes, and our definition of healthy technology use will need regular updates. Beyond setting limits and making sure that games are age appropriate, I also recommend you co-view and co-play when possible. Making an effort to understand and even appreciate what your kids are doing by asking questions, getting them to explain stuff, and listening with an open mind can actually help strengthen your relationship with them. This can also be an opportunity to teach your son to be critical of their media use by asking questions such as, who made this? Who's it for? Are they collecting my data and why? And what is it telling you? One aspect I do feel strongly about is social media access for primary age students. I think there are many benefits in holding off access to social media for primary age children altogether. They can wait until they're in high school. There are a number of reasons why I believe having a social media account, especially Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, can be unhealthy for primary age students. Firstly, I don't believe that primary age boys are ready to navigate the potential issues they may encounter, especially from older users. Secondly, they're not ready to engage in the type of messaging that occurs, where cyberbullying is a distinct risk in this age group. And finally, I believe the skewed or idealised version of the world that's often presented on social media is very challenging for young children, let alone adolescents, to manage in a healthy way. There are body and self-appearance issues that can arise from such early use. This could be tough, but I think there are some significant benefits to holding out on your son's desire to start his own social media account. So even though I am an advocate for monitoring and limiting screen use, I'm not going to be the one who will prescribe exactly how much time your child should be using screens for. If you are wanting specific guidelines for time limits, then there are websites that will provide this. But be aware that the hours will range greatly, even from reputable sources. For me, it's all about balance, and the context differs for everyone. And of course, the personality or temperament of your child makes a big difference too. No matter what time limit you choose for your context, it's important to enforce the limits you set. This can be done through having devices physically inaccessible during specific times. You can use digital tools for enforcement, such as Family Zone, or using settings on your home router to manage use. There are behavioural tools you can use too, such as family media agreements, where you negotiate the rules of use with your son. This is definitely my preferred option for older primary school children. You're still setting limits, but your son feels like he has some say in how it's implemented. So I've presented information today on screen use for primary age children, and I've outlined why it's important we set good examples with our own media use by managing our own use of devices, why we need to set limits, why we need to make sure content is age appropriate, and how there are benefits if we co-view or co-play when possible with our sons. I've suggested that balance is important for your son in the use of digital devices, including gaming. Balance is important above and beyond prescriptive time limits that are imposed from outside your specific context. Importantly, there's no single recipe for success. Balance for your family will look different than it will for your neighbour because every family is unique and parenting styles and values can vary. I hope you've gained something from today's presentation, and I hope you'll join me for the next episode of Parenting Conversations.